The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
So we covered this topic last month, but we got such a massive reaction from listeners that we wanted to come back to it. So the president of the Irish Planning Institute, Gavin Lawler, is back here in the studio to talk about planning permission. Gavin, great to have you back.
Thanks very much, Claire. Great to be here.
Loads of questions on this coming in. And one that you pointed out to me there when you came in was this issue that people have or question around opening or widening the opening to their front garden. So I'll just bring you this question. We live in an estate, our front garden wall is very old and it's going to fall down, so we want to rebuild it. But can we move the pillar to widen the opening without planning? What's the answer?
The simple answer in terms of the widening of the entrance is no. They can rebuild the wall, like for like, same height, same materials, not a problem. The reason that planning doesn't allow you to widen entrances is because then potentially you have two cars and there's potential for car accidents or unsafe traffic conditions. So that's why they want you to bring it into planning to check that in that particular circumstance that everything's okay. So for example, if your house was onto a corner, then there might be two different car movements that might not be able to see you reversing out. And that would need to be properly assessed. You could be in at the end of a cul-de-sac, it might not be a problem, but it needs to be assessed.
Mm-hmm. But even if you are on a private lane?
Even if you're on a in a housing estate, for example.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah, still the
you
same.
You still have to apply for planning permission.
If the road is open to the public, if it's a privately owned lane, no, you can then widen your entrance. But if it's a public road, if it's accessible by the public, then, and the road is wider than 4 metres, then, which most housing estates are, then you can't widen your entrance. If the public road is less than 4 metres, you can.
Right. Okay. Well, that's useful because we've a few in on that. Now, this is a long one, but let's go through it. Neighbour semi, three-bed semi was recently sold. The new owner has advertised it online as student lets. They've added stud walls, ensuite bathrooms to make it an 8-bedroom property with twin or triple beds in most of the rooms. We've seen a video tour of the property online on a student letting site. At no point was there any sign seeking planning permission put at the front of the house. I can find no planning application on the local council site. I believe they've done this conversion without permission and they haven't met the building regulation standards for a multi-let property. There are 17 beds to rent inside. What can we do about it?
So first things first, there's two different issues there. One is building regulation, the other one is planning. Building regulation is separate from planning and people shouldn't mix the two up. That's not saying it's any less important. But in terms of planning, they absolutely need planning permission to do that, the people who own the house. And if they haven't secured planning permission, it's very easy to check that. You can go onto the council's website, go into their planning portal and look on a map, find the house on the map, click on it. And if there's any planning history, you'll see it there and you can read the planning documents and see whether they did or did not get planning permission. If there's no evidence of any planning history, the correct thing to do then is write into the enforcement section, into the council, and make an official complaint. Councils don't go out looking for planning problems. They tend to react when people make it known to them that there's an issue. And so that's very simple. It seems like all the evidence is there. It's online. They simply point to it. It's very simple. Most planning authorities just equates to filling out a form and making the submission into the mm-hmm. planning authority, and they'll take it from there.
And how quickly is that responded to?
Generally, unfortunately, like everything else in planning, the enforcement departments are inundated and in different authorities have different resourcing. So there's a legal requirement for them to act within 6 months of a complaint. And generally speaking, it can take up to that before they go and have a look, do the investigations. And the next step, some planning authorities will immediately send out a warning letter if they believe that the issue is of significance.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just writing to the property owner saying, we have a complaint, we believe you've done something wrong, please make a change.
But if there is a potential breach of the building regulations, is there another way for that neighbour to go at this?
You can go to under the building regulations authority and you can go and speak to them. But that won't be as necessarily as quick, if you get me.
Oh,
fire
goodness.
Officer is another good way to do it. If they believe that there's a fire issue,
mm-hmm.
they can make a complaint to the fire officer. That the fire officer has significant powers to to stop something happening.
Right. That might be another way to cut that if you're looking for to move at pace.
Yeah.
Do you need planning permission for an electric charger if you don't have a driveway? I know the Irish Times, I think it was, covered this last weekend. People are having huge issues with this, aren't they?
It depends on where you want to put it. But if it's on your demised area and you can put the charger in a, what I mean by demised area, if you have a front garden, it's your property, then you can put one on a post inside your property.
Work away.
Within reason, there are certain restraints on that. But if it's across the road, for example, and I know there was an issue in prime time in relation to this in terms of car parking and where do electric car parking stands go?
Mm-hmm.
No, and there are moves afoot to change this, to put in within LAMP standards, to put in car charging points in housing estates. So it will change, unfortunately not very quickly, but it will change in due course.
Right, but if you're going to bring the charger out from your garden over and above or on the ground on the footpath set, you can't do that.
You cannot do that, no. And okay. And people should be very, very careful about, again, going onto the footpath and onto the road, because legally, that's the council's. If it's the council is taken in charge, it's council-owned land, and you then need a road opening licence. And you can be prosecuted under the Roads Act for interfering with the road.
Be careful. All right. If a planning enforcement complaint is not upheld by a local county council, is there an avenue to complain to on Comisiún Pleanála, where the Comisiún have granted that planning permission subject to conditions?
No.
Is there any oversight of a county council by on Comisiún Pleanála to enforce planning, given the council initially granted the planning without these same conditions in the first place?
No, that's not the commission's role. The commission's role is to act as a court of appeal, in effect, to a planning application.
Mm-hmm.
So the oversight comes from the Office of the Planning Regulator. They do have an oversight, but they won't look at it at specific cases. They don't deal with individual complaints. They look at if there's a trend occurring or if there's an issue in relation to that. What I should say, and this is maybe unhelpful to people in terms of the cost, but there is a mechanism that if you're a concerned citizen, you've raised a complaint against something that's unauthorised, you believe it's incorrect, there is an avenue open to you in the courts called Section 160 of the Planning and Development Act. It's going to change in the new acts, but it's known as a planning injunction. And you can go and seek your own legal advice and you can take your own court injunction to stop them doing something that you believe is an unauthorised.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to rely on the council.
But you're into cost there.
You are into cost.
Significant
cost. If you lose.
This listener bought a mid-terrace house. The reason I bought it was because it has disabled facilities in the downstairs extension. I've just found out that it didn't have planning permission for that extension, which has been in place for over 20 years. I don't have the 25 square metres to seek retention. What do I do?
I'm slightly confused by this question because the 25 square metres relates to the exemption. So in the 2000 Act or 2001 regulations, you're entitled to put on a 40 square metre extension onto your house. So long as the back garden that you're left with is 25 square metres or more. So what it would appear is that they can't claim the exemption because after the extension...
They don't have this 25 square metres left.
So then just simply apply for retention permission. I doubt in the circumstances, given what the extension is facilitating, i.e.
A wheelchair user,
part what we would know in the building regulations, Part M compliance. It's an older property that needed to be converted for somebody with mobility issues. I very much doubt that's going to be refused.
Okay. We're a group of mobile homeowners in a self-owned mobile home park in Wexford. Lovely. A few of the mobile homeowners wish to mount solar panels on the roofs. We've received confirmation from the council that mobile homes are not covered by the domestic exemption for planning for solar panels, so we're considering a Section 5 exemption request. This would be preferable to having to apply for planning permission each time someone wishes to mount solar panels. Is there anything we can do to improve the likelihood of a positive response?
So I would suggest that they do put in a planning application that covers all of the mobile homes. Get all the mobile homeowners together to get a consent with an option to put them on or not, as the case may be, and ask for the planning permission for the duration to be 10 years. That way you have 10 years for any of them, any of the homeowners that are included in the application, to put on the solar panels or not. It's the simplest way around it. It's probably the cheapest way around it as well. You do one application that covers a number of users
and
together.
And you can all go ahead then and get your panels in. This one, our neighbours recently sold their house to the HSE. It's a private house in a private rural housing estate. No planning required, apparently. We have no idea what its new use is going to be. Surely they should require planning, or do we have to accept whatever use they have for it?
So there is a specific provision in the Planning Act that allows you to convert a residential property into a care facility. There's limited use of it. Off the top of my head, I think it's seven people who need care and one full-time carer. So the idea is that it's not meant to be an intensive use, but it can be used for those purposes.
So they wouldn't need a planning
change.
So
long as they stay within the planning exemption, they don't need planning permission. And unfortunately, if you're a neighbour, you don't have any say in that.
Mm-hmm. With all of these things, just from listening to you, Gavin, it seems the wisest thing to do if you have a question mark over whether I need planning or not is to go and check.
Absolutely. And it can be very difficult to get that answer, unfortunately, with planning authorities, because the planners that are in there are very, very busy. A lot of this information is available online at Citizens Advice. They have some very, very good, the Citizens Advice website has some very, very good information. Kildare County Council have a good guidance in terms of what you can do with your house. There are a lot of resources online. The Office of the Planning Regulator have a very good guidebook. But some of the stuff, particularly some of the questions you've asked me here today, are very nuanced. And only somebody who would be a planning consultant or a town planner working in a local authority or an inspector in the commission would actually have the answers to those. And some of them sometimes can be even trickier than that. Again, there can be very, very nuanced.
Mm, once you get into the detail of it, the devil answer is in the changes.
Detail. Absolutely.
More coming in on whether they can expand the entrance. You have to get planning permission.
You do,
line.
Unfortunately. If it's your driveway, if it's your entrance and there's two piers and you want to widen that, there's an express D exemption. Mm-hmm. So the way the planning acts work, the acts allow for the regulations to list out a number of exemptions. Everything else requires planning permission. And then within the act as well, there's a list of what they call D exemptions. No matter, even if you're in that list, if certain circumstances apply, you're not exempt. One of those D exemptions is for road safety. And it says you can't widen an entrance onto a public road that's wider than 4 metres. If you do that, you need planning permission.
Okay, what about the timeline on the planning permission once it's granted? Because we know with escalating costs, people's budgets changing at the moment, that they mightn't have the money to do it right now. How long do you get?
You get 5 years unless you've applied for more. You can apply for more. And I would always strongly advise people when they are actually applying for planning permission, if you're uncertain, look for a longer duration. You mm-hmm. know, you can get a longer duration. And there's no limit on the maximum duration. It is up to the planning authority, the duration that they grant you. So if you ask for 20 years, they might still only give you five. Mm-hmm. But 5 years is the minimum. And you can extend that. There are provisions in the Act that allow you to extend it.
I have a really quick one that I want you to answer for me. It's from Paul, who has planning permission for a garage and an office at the house, but hasn't built it yet. I'd like to turn this into a granny flat. He wants to know, should I build it and then look for the planning to be upgraded or start the process all over again? The structure won't change, just the use of the building.
Well, it's one and the same thing. So if he wants to change it from what he's got planning permission into something else, he needs planning permission. So whether he does that before he commences construction or after he commences construction, before he uses it, he needs his planning permission.
Mm-hmm. So you're going to be asked the same questions?
You are. Yeah. So it doesn't matter if you've built it as an office and a garage and then convert it into a granny flat. The thing is, just if there's uncertainty, go in and make an appointment to go in and speak to the planning staff and ask them what they need.
Gavin, thank you so much. You've taken so many questions on the fly there, so we really appreciate it. Gavin Lawler, President of the Irish Planning Institute.
The Clare Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.